Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa, and by the Lord's marvelous grace, it is my blessing to come to him in worship today. May his holy name be exalted, lifted very high. In the teaching and preaching ministry of the Word of God, it is my great blessing to meet with you too, dear radio listener, at this time. May the Lord give us saving grace that we may lift up his name. He is worthy. He is exalted. He is the Most High God, worthy of praise, honor, blessing, and glory. And for all who are listening today, the King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the Lord Jesus Christ, declares his terms of peace with you, that if you will believe in him with all of your heart and commit your way to him as you repent of all sin, turn from the evil that you are accustomed to. Come to the Lord Jesus, believing, trusting him, that he will spare you, that he will deliver you from your sins, that he will save you and give to you the precious, undeserved grace of eternal life. He is the Savior of the world. He is God, God the Son. Come to your God by faith in his name and repentance, and be at peace with him. His very word declares that he makes peace with those who believe in him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory and praise to his great name. Friends, learn more about our ministry at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. Today we continue in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, this blessed and glorious sermon that the Lord Jesus Christ himself preached and taught. Please turn there with me in your Bibles as you are able. We will soon receive the Word of God found there, beginning in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Last Lord's Day, we left off with the thought that there is a reward for all people for our actions, thoughts, words, intentions, and desires. In short, we must give an account to God for our lives, for how we have lived before him, and this reward will result in eternal consequences, yes, blessings of grace and goodness and love of salvation to those who believe in Christ, and sadly for those who die without Christ, God's return to them is cursing, pain, misery, never-ending anguish under his terrible wrath and anger. We'll look more at the truth that God judges and rewards today as we seek to understand the Lord's teaching in Matthew chapter 6 about our charitable deeds. Glory to God. Hear now the word of the Lord in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. Glory to God. Friends, let us pray. Open our hearts, O God, Lord Jesus, we pray, to your precious truth, to this awesome sermon that you preached, specifically to the truths that we are dealing with today in Matthew chapter 6, and find us faithful. Find us to not be hypocrites in the final day as pretenders to know you, as those who are pretenders to your grace. But deliver us from all sin, yes, even the sin of hypocrisy, and bless us that we might draw near you, Lord, because truly you are our blessing of blessing, Lord Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. We noted before that the Lord speaks of a reward in verses 43 through 48 of Matthew chapter 5. And the reward in Matthew chapter 5 that the Lord speaks of is the reward of grace that comes to those who believe in Him, who seek by God's grace to love their neighbor, even their enemies as themselves, who live in such a way that they seek with all of their heart and in fact do worship God, love God with all of their hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves. And we see, too, that there is a reward for the unjust man who does not have Christ, who does not believe in Christ, and who is not able, by virtue of his depraved nature, to love God or love his neighbor as himself. The reward to this man, many of whom are hypocrites, that is, they profess a faith in Christ, they profess to know Christ, but indeed are lost men with darkened hearts, is God's just return to them of punishment for their sins. The righteous in Christ are blessed with grace. The lost man outside of Christ is rewarded with punishment, pain, misery at the hand of the all-powerful God who can inflict severe judgment, who can damn a soul, damn the man for all eternity. And we see clearly that there is a reward, a return from God to men for who we are, what we are, and what we have done. There is a reward now in time. The hypocrite who seeks glory from men receives his reward now, that is, some measure of glory from men. What a useless reward this really is, because for a moment the man enjoys glory and praise, but only from men and not from God if he is yet in his wickedness. What an empty, temporary good this is, if you will. But the reward that God brings to his people is an eternal blessing in righteousness, glory, honor, love, mercy, at the very right hand of God, in his glorious presence forever. Obviously, the reward that God gives is infinitely greater than the reward that a man can give to another man. And Jesus concludes the verses in Matthew chapter 5 that we looked at with the truth that we are to be perfect, that is, never sin against God. Just as he is in heaven, he never sins. He cannot sin. He cannot lie. He can never deny himself. Of course, we will continue in sin because there is a fallen part of us yet until glorification. But God's standard for us never changes. We are to be perfect as he is perfect, meaning do not sin against God. Now in Matthew chapter 6 in verses 1 through 4, we see the Lord's teaching again about reward and that the hypocrite is rewarded by men. He seeks glory from men, not from God. He shall receive that in some measure. I might add, sometimes in a very small measure, in comparison to his expectation, most likely. But he does receive some reward from men if he seeks reward from men. Jesus says that assuredly they have their reward. And he teaches men, he teaches believers that we are to do our charitable deeds, that is, actions of love and goodwill toward our neighbor as unto God, and that we are to do these in secret. Here again, the charitable deeds or the good works, those acts of charity, love for our neighbor, helping those in need, are to be done from a heart of faith, from a right motive, that is, for the glory of God, and in love for our neighbor. We can relate the verses in Matthew chapter 5, that is, verses 43 through 48, and these verses in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, to the Old Testament commandments. In Matthew chapter 5, we see that the Lord is speaking of the truth that we are to truly love all of our neighbors, even our enemies. Because Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, God's commandment is, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against your neighbor," that is, the children of your people, "but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." By extension, we also see that the Old Testament commands a love for all people, that all people are indeed one's neighbor. All people were the Jews' neighbor. And so they were required by God's commandment to love their neighbor. The love commandment that we just saw in Leviticus 19:18, again, it's found in other places in the Old Testament, also applies to Matthew chapter 6 in verses 1 through 4. And that if a man does love his neighbor, he will not play the hypocrite. He will not do his charitable deeds in a way of theft to steal a reward from men, if you will, and to rob God of his glory. He will not do his charitable deeds in a lying way, because Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 says, the eighth commandment of God, "You shall not steal." He shall not break Exodus 20, verse 16, the ninth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor," or lie against his neighbor as a hypocrite, a pretender. And he shall not break Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, the tenth commandment. He shall not be covetous. He shall not be greedy. The commandment says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." In this again, we see the Lord's clear exposition and teaching of the law of God and his requirement that in the grace of God, we are to fulfill the law of God as we are not hypocrites, but that we truly, lovingly, honestly do good to our fellow men because of our hearts of love for them. Wonderfully, here again, the Lord himself will openly reward us and bless us in his marvelous grace. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, we see that the Lord teaches that we are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So we see the evil involved in the hypocrite's actions, his falsehood of doing charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, to receive a vainglorious return reward from men, rather than doing charitable deeds in truth, rightly, not in falsehood, before God to be seen firstly and primarily by God. To honor God's person, to honor God's will and God's law. And because of true faith in God, which God requires of man, and true love for God, which God requires of man, that he does his good works, believing in Christ for the glory of God in Jesus Christ. We see again here, as we saw in Matthew 5, that there is a reward from heaven that comes to those who are not hypocritical pretenders, but who trust God, who love God in deed and in fact, in truth, who do their charitable deeds which God requires of his people in a true love for his neighbor and in goodwill for his neighbor. These good works should display saving faith, that is, the man's trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his heart's repentance from his sins. We see the truth that there is hypocrisy often in the New Testament, and one man has written that in the New Testament, the hypocrite is a man who claims to have a right relationship with God and to love righteousness, but is self-seeking and even self-deceived. Jesus denounced the Pharisees and scribes in Matthew chapter 23 as men who were indeed hypocrites. They did not love God, he declares to them. They were destructive, self-seeking, selfish men, intent on harm and the destruction of others, and who would receive destruction from the mighty hand of God. It's interesting to note that a true believer in Christ, one who is born again, who is filled with the Spirit of Christ, has some awareness of his sin of hypocrisy. A believer can commit the sin of hypocrisy. He can sin in this way, but that the true believer by faith in Christ is indeed and truth in nature, not a hypocrite, not a pretender, and by the grace of God is able to recognize his heart's tendency to hypocrisy and to turn from it, to confess his sin of hypocrisy and not commit hypocrisy. The hypocrite simply pretends to love God, pretends to righteousness, but the believer is no hypocrite in truth. He does love God. He does love his neighbor. It is because God has given him a new heart for God and his neighbor. Sadly, the hypocrite does his charitable deeds to be seen by men who would esteem him and reward him for this. Sometimes they seek the reward of financial gain. They do things for others to gain funds from others. This is especially reprehensible, that a man would seek to do good to his neighbor simply to steal his money from him, to fleece him for his funds. And because this is true, Jesus teaches about it. We see many examples of this in the New Testament. We must ask ourselves, what is our real motive for doing good to others? Do we seek honor from men, or do we seek honor from God? Do we seek to please men for our own selfish gain, or do we seek to please God and do what we do in good deeds towards others because of love for God and our neighbor? This is a good question to ask ourselves, especially if we are involved in the public ministry in the church, because our motives are so important. We see that in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says that we must be careful. He says, take heed, be careful that you do not do charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. If we are involved in public ministry, when we are seen by others in our ministry, whether it be teaching and preaching or singing, if we hold a public office in the church, if we are a pastor, an elder, an overseer, a deacon, if we are involved in ministry events, if we lead in evangelism or in discipleship, if we are involved in any public ministry in the church, serving as an usher, in any way in which we are seen, we must be careful that we serve God in these public ways for God's approval and not do them to be seen by men. Jesus says simply, if we do charitable deeds, even in the worship of God in the church, to be seen by men, that God will not reward us for these deeds, and that we are not to do our charitable deeds like the hypocrites do in the synagogues, that is, the church of the time of the Lord Jesus Christ in which the Jews met, or even in the streets in a more public and community setting. Good deeds should be done in the streets for the right motive, but not for the false motive, not from a hypocritical motive. If we seek glory from men in the church or in the streets, in ministry in the community, for example, we will have our reward, but it is not the reward that the only true and wise God gives. It is a reward that men can give, and it is temporary. It is a fleeting honor, if there is some element of honor in it, so that the Lord instructs us that when we do a charitable deed, that we are not to let our left hand, that is the bad hand, know what the right hand is doing. That speaks of the good hand. In other words, have no bad mixed with your good. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing in your charitable deeds, but do them in the secrecy of your heart before God. In other words, from your heart, from love for God and your neighbor, do your charitable deeds. Now, some charitable deeds will be done in a public setting. God does not forbid that. In fact, Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 5 that we are to let our light shine before men, that men may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. The key in understanding these truths is to see that God wants our charitable deeds done from our hearts, if you will, from the secrecy of our hearts, even in public settings. And many times it is exactly right to do a charitable deed for someone, to bring good to someone, and for that to be completely done in secret, for no one else to know except the person that you have blessed. So the deed is done in secret. And so from a heart of secrecy, that is a heart that seeks the approval of God, not men, and in deeds done in actual secrecy so that God alone sees, again for the approval of God, we are to do our works. And these are the kind of works that please God our Father, that He will reward us for openly. When our motive is right in our charitable deeds, when our intention is correct, as it must be for our deeds to be accepted by God, Jesus says we do our good for the glory of God, not to receive glory and honor and esteem from men. Of course, this can be a problem in the church because of our pride. We are yet prideful, and we can oftentimes do our charitable deeds for the wrong motive to be seen by men. That's like sounding a trumpet before us in the synagogue or sounding a trumpet before us in the streets, making a big fuss that we are coming, that we want people to see us. We want them to see us, perhaps many of them to see us in this way so that they think well of us, that they will see us to be good persons. That is for the glory of men. This is a vainglorious attempt. We are seeking glory from men for our own selfish purposes. We merely want to be seen as a good doer by our neighbor, by our fellow men. Here again, God, who sees the motive of the heart, knows well what the motive of our heart is. And so, as we guard our hearts and minds, as we seek to serve God truly from a right and true motive, glory to God, we seek to serve God, knowing that that which is done for man's glory will be rewarded, and that which is done for God's glory will be rewarded. That which is done for God's glory will result in God's declaration to the believer, well done, good and faithful servant. In the Lord's picturesque language, too, we see that the left hand often connoted in the culture of the time that which was given from a wrong motive. The left hand gave in a stingy, restrictive way, whereas the right hand gave generously, freely, and fully from a good motive. Now, this applies, of course, to the giving of alms, that is, money. We are to give it with the right hand, that is, if you will, with a generous heart, freely giving from a right motive. If we find that we do not from our hearts want to give to God, and we force the act, then we would give from our left hand in stinginess, greedily, reluctantly, not generously. We would then commit the sin of Cain and offer up a false sacrifice to God, not truly doing it freely in love. Here again, God will reward us openly. And we find other teaching in the New Testament which indicates that we are to give hilariously, that is, with great joy, even with laughter. Human nature does not give hilariously with such joy that there is an eruption of laughter, with such gladness that we can give even to God, much less our neighbor, but the human nature is overcome by the Christian, so that the Christian, a participant in the divine nature, meaning he is born again, has received a new heart from God, so that he can give so generously, so fully, with such gladness, that he could laugh with joy. In other words, hilarious giving, to be able to give to God and give to his neighbor in this full-hearted, generous way. Praise the Lord. There is great reward for the man who can give with a heart like this. At the day of recognition, that is the day of reckoning, at judgment day, the divine reward in the day will be given openly, A.W. Pink has written, before an assembled universe. God in his providence often rewards a Christian believer in an open way in this world as he does his good deeds with the right motive. But there will be a great revealing before the entire assembled universe at Judgment Day when the divine reward is given fully and permanently, the eternal reward given by the very hand of God. This is truly an open reward given by God the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall everyone have praise of God. At the judgment, God will reveal the heart motives of the elect, of his true people, to the praise of God and to their blessing. But the hidden things of darkness will also be revealed and will be seen to be rightly under the curse of God. In condemnation, hidden things of darkness will be revealed in the unbeliever's heart. Interesting that David speaks of a similar truth. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, in Psalm 23. Here again, the picture that before an assembled universe, the good and the bad, the good that the believer has done and is rewarded for in that he receives much good from God, he is blessed, is witnessed by even the wicked. And the evil of the wicked is manifested to their eternal condemnation, in this sense witnessed even by the righteous. And I think it's helpful to remember, though, and I believe that this is true, that God won't shame his people with our sin at this great revealing at Judgment Day. I believe God's grace is such that that which is only brought before the assembled universe is of his grace, and that the sin which is shameful that his people have committed won't be paraded before all the universe, as it most likely will be for the lost, but that the believer's sin will not be seen. God will hide it, if you will, and the good that the believer has done will only be seen for the glory of God and for the happiness and blessing of God's people. Wonderfully, that which is done truly now secretly will be revealed before the creation then, and that will be simply a marvelous, glorious thing to the glory of the Father. In the next section of verses, we see the Lord's teaching about prayer, and in this again, we see that the Lord's requirement in prayer relates directly to the commandments of God as we find them in Exodus chapter 20 in verses 1 through 8. That is the Ten Commandments. And that Christ teaches us that in prayer, we must remember that prayer is made to the Holy God. We'll continue at this point next Lord's Day. Until then, my dear friends, may God bless you. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the teaching today. Help us to truly serve you with right hearts, with a motive of love for you, seeking to serve you secretly in the depths of our hearts, in love for you, in true love for our neighbor, loving them as ourselves. Doing unto others as we would have them do unto us, serve you in deed and in truth and in heart, that which is due you, the only true God, will be done in holiness and love and faith, so that we may please you. And wonderfully, Lord, you have promised to reward us for the good we have done to our neighbor in this way. Give us grace, Lord, to serve you from true motives, for the right purposes, and have your glory in this, as in all things, Lord Jesus, Father, and Holy Spirit, blessed God, only blessed forever. It's in your name we pray. Amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.